You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Also cover the Grizzlies at grizzlybearblues.com as an assistant editor. You can see my work over there. You can get the Locked On Grizzlies podcast on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, literally anywhere you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play Locked On Grizzlies, and it will play the latest episode. So that's pretty cool. Let's talk about the weekend that the Grizzlies had over this past weekend. They played Saturday and Sunday back-to-back over the weekend on the West Coast, so with some late games. So we're going to talk about that in the first segment. Talk about Jonas Valanciunas a lot here. In the second segment of the show, we're going to do our Monday mailbag. And then in the third segment of the show, we're going to continue our conversations with Grizz Gaming. This will be the last one from the players. This will be May. Authentic African is his gamer tag. He is the last player we'll be talking to. And then tomorrow we'll have Lane Whitaker, the GM, as well. So May's a cool guy. You know, he scored 84 in a game last year, has the league record for points in a game. So that's pretty cool. I doubt it'll get broken this year, as we talk about in this conversation. So we'll have that coming up in the last segment of the show. But let's get started on this games over the weekend. The Grizzlies go out and they they win against the Suns, which they should have lost this game. And they really got outscored all three quarters. But the biggest problem in that game was the first quarter. They got outscored 38-23. They just got killed in the first quarter. But the second and third, they really didn't get outplayed that much. 31-24. They actually outscored them in the second, third, and fourth quarter. So like that first quarter was the only one that really got away from them. They outscored them 31-24 in the second quarter, 34-30 in the third, and 32-23. They really put it on late and came back and found a way to beat a Suns team that, again, they are trying to lose, but they are just not good at basketball either. Devin Booker goes out and scores 48 points, but still gets that L. And Jonas Valanciunas, 34 points, 20 rebounds, just a monster game for Jonas Valanciunas. Mike Conley, 33 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. Just really everything you want from those guys. You're two at this point. You're two main guys. Jonas Valanciunas, you're kind of de facto second go to guy. And the Grizzlies did it basically all with their starters. You know, off the bench, Parsons scored nothing. Julian Washburn, Javon Carter scored nothing. Javon Carter still continues to struggle to shoot the ball. Only took one shot, but still continues to struggle to shoot the ball over this Clippers game as well. DeLon Wright had 11 points off the bench, but again, the Grizzlies did most of the damage with their starters. Bruno Caboclo had another good game that followed up that we talked last week. He had 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. I mean, just, you know, it was 3 for 7 from the field, 2 for 4 from 3. Just a good game from Bruno. Really, really enjoy watching him play. I think that he's got the makings of a quality NBA player. Tyler Dorsey got the start along with Mike Conley. He was okay. He got most of his points from the free throw line. He was all right. Did a good job distributing the ball, but, you know, just all right. The biggest takeaway from this game, and we're going to talk more about Jonas here in a minute. We're going to talk about Jonas as a player here in a minute. But the biggest takeaway from this game is Mike Conley got hurt. Mike Conley rolled his ankle. Didn't play in the game against the Clippers, and so who knows what we're going to see from Mike Conley. But he did sit the game out against the LA Clippers. And in the LA Clippers, the back-to-back, the Grizzlies just look like a team that played a lot of G League players, were really tired on a back-to-back. It looked like they spent a lot of energy coming back the night before to overcome that first quarter deficit from the Suns to win the game. And they looked tired. It looked like they played a bunch of G League players because they did. Mike Conley didn't play. Justin Holiday, Bruno Caboclo, Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, Tyler Dorsey, Auden Rabb, Chandler Parsons. You know, you're looking at guys, Dusty Hanna, they signed on a 10-day. I forgot to mention it off the top of the show. They signed Dusty Hanna from the Hustle on a 10-day. You know, so now the Hustle season is over. You're going to see more of Dusty Hanna, Yuta Watanabe, Javon, you know, all these Hustle players that were going back and forth. You'll see more of those guys get time with the club, with the Grizzlies, just to see what they can do these last five or six games and just kind of see what they have. And so, again, the Grizzlies are playing guys against the Clippers, who are a playoff team. They're playing guys who have, quite frankly, have been in the G League. So you have one, two, three, four players. I'm going to include DeLon Wright in this because he obviously, you know, he's been with Toronto. So you have four players. They either have, you know, those are your four players that have either not, you know, not been in the G League or not been on a roster. Bruno Caboclo wasn't on a roster, really. Tyler Dorsey, he wasn't really getting time. The rest are all G League players. So this looked like exactly that. I mean, the LA Clippers dominated this game and destroyed them. They got every opportunity they wanted to get points in the paint. They did everything they wanted to do. Jonas Valanciunas had a terrible night. And speaking of Jonas, he also rolled his ankle really, really badly, had to be helped off the court to the locker room. So, you know, that's probably the last you've seen of Jonas Valanciunas this year. He'll probably shut it. They'll probably shut him down for the rest of the year. And it wouldn't surprise me if they shut Mike Conley down for the rest of the year. So in a race, we continue to talk about this idea of conveying and getting to this ninth spot, that might as well be gone. I mean, we might as well not even have the conversation anymore. Because, you know, again, there's likely that Mike Conley is going to be shut down for the rest of the year. I mean, I were the Grizzlies and it was a significant sprain, I wouldn't play him. Same thing with Jonas Valanciunas. There's no reason to. I mean, honestly, there's no reason to play the rest of the season. I joked last night that we could just kind of chalk it up and be good here. But, again, I'm joking. But yeah, Jonas, he didn't play well. You know, Tyler Dorsey had 20 points. Tyler Dorsey had 14 points. DeLon Wright had 20 points. But, you know, I would say nobody really played well on this team. You know, you're looking at guys who scored, 20 points, 14 points, but it's a product of just having to score the basketball. Same thing with Chandler Parsons. He scored 17 points. That's just a product of having to score the basketball. So, like, you know, somebody's got to score the points in a game throughout the four quarters, and so that's just kind of what it shaped up to be. You know, beyond those three players, not one person was in double digits. Justin Holiday scored 9. Jonas was 9. I mean, nobody else had 10 points besides DeLon, Tyler, and Chandler Parsons. So just an all-around bad game. But again, they looked like a team that had a bunch of G League players and were tired and, you know, just a number of things. They didn't have Mike Conley. And so that's what it looked like, and that's kind of what we got. So, but I do want to talk about Jonas Valanciunas. I've seen a lot of Jonas Valanciunas talk about on social media, on Twitter. That's where we spend most of our time talking about this team. And I've seen a lot of Jonas Valanciunas of everybody loves watching Jonas play, and then you have a lot of people in the media. You have a lot of people say, though, this is, you know, enjoy it while it lasts, it's never going to happen again, et cetera, et cetera. Look, nobody should tell you how to enjoy your team. You enjoy your team however you want. That includes me. I've been down on Marshawn Brooks and told you that, you know, it's a flash in the pan and it's not going to work out, and it didn't. So, like, first of all, you enjoy your team however you want, whether that's me, whether it's anybody else writing for our Grizzly Bear Blues, doesn't matter. You enjoy your team however you want. But the idea of Jonas Valanciunas, let's talk about this next. He's going to be here next year. He's going to opt into that $17 million. So let's talk about Jonas for a second, the idea of Jonas. Is Jonas going to give you 30 points a night? No. He's not going to give you 30 points a night next year. Is he going to give you 20 points a night? Maybe not. I mean, let's think about this rationally for a second. Next year, you have coming back Kyle Anderson. You have Dylan Brooks. You have Jared Jackson. And let's just stop right there with those three. And let's assume you have Mike Conley back. I don't know what's going to happen in the summer. We haven't really got to that, and we haven't started that yet. But let's assume that Mike Conley is going to be back. So you have Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, and Jaren Jackson Jr. So let's just take Jaren Jackson Jr. alone. You want Jaren Jackson Jr. shooting 16 shots a game. I would assume that most of us all can agree on that. And you want Kyle Anderson taking quite a few shots a game. I think we can all mostly agree on that as well. And so you have a product. What is, you know, happening with Jonas is there's not a whole lot of people, not a whole lot of good players for sure, on this Grizzlies team that can take and make shots. And so, yes, is he getting Is he getting a bump in stats and bump in shots that aren't normally going to be there? Absolutely. He absolutely is. It doesn't mean that he's just going to go away next year. No, it doesn't mean that that's not, you know, it doesn't mean he's just going to sort of disappear. And so he was getting about 22 shots a game or 22 minutes a game with Toronto. And that's probably what you're going to see with the Grizzlies next year. He may even get a little bit more, but the shot distribution is not going to be there. He's not going to be taking, you know, 20 shots a game or 16 shots a game. It's just not going to happen. For the simple fact that we all can agree that we want Jaren taking those shots. We want, you know, Kyle Anderson taking some of those shots. We want Dylan Brooks taking some of those shots. These guys are going to be back next year, and they're going to be a pivotal point or pivotal players in the lineup. I mean, and that doesn't even take into account for the fact that if you trade Mike Conley to the Lakers for some young prospects, if you trade Mike Conley for a younger prospect, that you want to see those guys play as well. So, is Jonas Valanciunas going to take, you know, 16 shots, score 30 points, score 25 points, even score 20 points a game and have 15 rebounds a game? The rebounds may still be there because Jaren's not a great rebounder. But the points, no. The shots, no. They're not going to be there at all. And that's only for the simple fact that you're going to have other people on that team taking up those shots who you want taking up those shots. And so will that change Jonas's style or the way Jonas is viewed? Maybe. But no, he's still going to be there setting hard screens, rebounding the ball really well, still scoring the basket, scoring the ball under the basket when he gets the chance. So, you know, he's not just going to disappear next year. It's not going to be the same, like people have said, but you're not just going to disappear. And so Jonas Valanciunas will very much be a part of this team and will very much be an integral part of this team next year because, quite frankly, the Grizzlies might not have a whole lot of good players outside of the people I just named. And that's the concerning part. So depending on what they do with Mike Conley, you know, when he's out there if Mike Conley's back, you'll have Mike, Jaren, Dylan, Kyle. That's something along those lines in the starting lineup. But so yes, those shots are just going to go down naturally. But it still doesn't mean that Jonas isn't going to be there and play really well. So I just want to talk about that for a minute. I know I've seen a lot of that on social media and just kind of better explain that, if you will, kind of better get to the, you know, root cause of everybody's frustration is saying, yeah, well, Jonas is just not going to be here anymore, not going to play. That's not the case. He'll be here. He'll play well. He'll rebound the ball well. Points might not be there, but that's okay. I apologize today, guys. I've been sick all weekend, so I'm trying to get to this show, but that's all right. Anyway, let's go and move on to our second segment of the show. In our second segment of the show today, we'll do our Monday mailbag. Remember to get the show every single day. Subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies as a new Himalaya podcast app. In every expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies. Coming up next after the break, we will do Monday mailbag. Welcome back to the show. We're going to do our Monday mailbag segment in this middle segment of the show every single Monday. So make sure you get your questions in. I usually put out a tweet on Sunday and you can reply to that tweet. You can DM me on Locked On Grizzlies account at Locked On Grizz. You can DM me on my personal account at King_producer, or you can email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Any of those things work. So make sure you get your questions in every single week. First question comes from at Delicious Sub. Thanks for the question. What do you think the return would look like if the Grizzlies were to trade Mike this offseason and we hope Jonas opts in rather than offer long-term in case there isn't a good fit next to Jaren, correct? I do want him back next year. He's been awesome to watch. Case in point, he has been awesome to watch at Delicious Sub. I have loved and made that very clear. I've loved watching Jonas play. He's one of my favorite players after the trade. And so as far as Jonas is concerned, yes, we do. I would rather him opt in and then kind of see where you go from there. I would be very, very hesitant to give Jonas long-term money right now, unless he wants to agree to something like $12 million a year, then I think that's fine. I've also seen the idea of what Jonas might be worth thrown around. Our own Joe Monix suggested $19 million a year on Twitter. I think that's just insane. I don't think anybody will come close to $19 million a year. I think Jonas is worth more like 10 to 12. And so we'll see where, you know, And that really depends on the landscape of the bigs in the NBA, what you value him, what he can do, and what other teams value, that as. And if he can do, all they need is rebounder or, something like that. Again, all it takes is one team, like Joe mentioned on social media last night, all it takes is one team to screw it up for everybody and screw up your plan. So in the idea of Jonas, yeah, I'd rather him opt in and just kind of see where we go from there. The return from Mike Conley, should be a young player, a good young player. That could be, I've seen, we're going to use this as an example. And I do not like Lonzo Ball. I think he's a terrible player. But someone like Lonzo Ball, if you consider him a good young player, I do not. I think he's terrible. And then probably a first round pick. And then another decent role player to make the money work. That's kind of what you're probably looking at for Mike Conley. If you can get another second round pick in there, I think that's probably what he's worth, is a young, good-ish player, a role player, and a first round pick. And I think that's exactly what Mike Conley is worth, whether from any team. We saw that with the Jazz trade that was getting thrown around. It was Ricky Rubio, Derek Favors. Actually, this is probably better, but it was Ricky. The offer he was getting was Ricky Rubio, Derek Favors, and a first round pick. That's what the offer was that was getting from Mike at the trade deadline. And Ricky Rubio and Derek Favors are exactly that. Ricky Rubio is a good role player. So depending on what you think of Ricky Rubio, he's a young player. Derek Favors is a good role player. So there's really, I think Derek Favors and Ricky Rubio are both above average players. They can be starters in this league. And so you don't have that young, good prospect, but you have two players that are both above average, both good, could be starters in this league, versus a good young player and a, average to below average role player. So it's that kind of scenario. And that's kind of exactly what you saw again in the trade deadline with Mike Conley, is you had that offer plus first round pick. And, that was it. And so hopefully you can get that first round pick unprotected. And that's kind of what you want to strive for, is at least get it maybe protected next year and then unprotected this year. Second question comes from @MichaelJT5, @LOLYouThink. If we keep the same team for next season and bring it back all the injured players, what will be our record and are we a playoff team? I think he means if we just run it back with what we have now. And again, like we just mentioned in the previous segment, guys you have coming back, you'll have CJ Miles back, he'll opt in. You'll have DeLon Wright, probably assuming DeLon Wright resigns, which I assume they will. You'll have Chandler Parsons for what it's worth. You'll have Mike Conley. You'll have Kyle Anderson, Jaren Jackson. You'll have Dylan Brooks. But Jaren, Mike, Jonas, Dylan, CJ, Kyle, those are your core players that are going to come back. DeLon probably too, because I'm assuming he's going to be back. I don't think Justin Holiday will be back. It would surprise me. I don't think Avery Bradley will be back. It would also surprise me. So, that core players is average. And so I think you'll probably see, it's hard to say, because it's really difficult to know when you say run it back, it's difficult to say who you're going to run it back with, because, like DeLon Wright might not be back. And so Jonas Valanciunas might not be back. So it's difficult to really predict when you say run it back with the current players, because I don't know who that's going to be. But assuming that Jonas opts in and DeLon opts in, or either the re-signed DeLon Wright at a good price, you have Mike, have CJ Miles, you have Bruno Caboclo, he'll be here depending on what he does. I think you're probably a 35 win team. I don't think you're making the playoffs again. I think you're probably about where you were this year. I would say you're about a 35 win team, and you probably a 30 to 35, and you're definitely not making the playoffs, and you're in the lottery again. That's probably what I expect. I've kind of expected that all along. Unless they do something completely, unless they get a lot from Mike Conley and some things turn around in the offseason, which, again, as we've talked about on this show, they don't have the money to do anything this offseason. That's really the crux of the issue, is that they don't have the money to go out and just sign anyone. Like, even if they were to move Chandler Parsons, they still wouldn't have the money. They'll still be over the hard cap. You can't just go out and use, you know, if you're over the hard cap, yes, they still have money to go up to the luxury tax. But all you can really do at that point, once you're over the hard cap, the only mechanisms you can use to sign players are the mid-level exception. I believe they have their biennial exception this year. The biennial exception is the same thing as the mid-level exception, except for it happens every other year. Are you able to use that? And so they do have mechanisms to sign players, but you know those mechanisms are very limited, and you can't just go out and offer people whatever they want. They can go over the cap to re-sign their own players, which you could see someone like with DeLon Wright or something like that. You can use your you can use the money that you have to re-sign your own players to go over the cap. If you're already over the cap, you can use that money to re-sign your own players. But you can't just go out and sign you know people to deals. And so that's why I would target not this offseason, but next offseason to really do stuff. And I think the Grizzlies should be saving their money for that. There's a lot of restricted free agents coming out next offseason in the free agency that are good, young restricted free agents that are hitting their first kind of free agency with restrictions. And so you can overpay some of those guys. Joe and I have talked about that on this show. So next year's, you know, that Chandler Parsons deal comes off. If you were to keep Mike Conley, his deal will come off. If you traded Mike Conley, you're taking on bad salary back just to get rid of the contract, which I don't think they're going to do because Mike Conley is a decent player and you can actually get return for him. It's not like a Marc Gasol situation. We're just trying to get rid of the contract and get him out of here. So like, there's a lot of money coming off the books next year, and we'll get further into this as we get deeper into the offseason of just the money and how really, you know, really works and what you can and can't do this year. But again, you know, next year, to answer your question, the short answer is no. I don't think they're going to be in playoffs. I think they're going to be about where they are this year. And the running back is hard to decipher because I don't know who's going to be here to run it back. You have a lot of decisions to be made this offseason. You have a lot of players who are in either free agency or restricted free agency, or Avery Bradley could be bought out, or players opting in. A lot of those things and a lot of those decisions are kind of out of your control. And so we don't really know what's going to happen until it happens. So I hope that answers your question. I appreciate the questions for the show today. If I did answer your question, or if you weren't able to send one in, make sure you just send them in throughout the week. I'll save them and get to them on every Monday. Again, you can email those to me at Lockdown Grizz. You can tweet them to me at Lockdown Grizz for the show Twitter handle. At King_producer is my Twitter handle. Either way, you can DM them to me if you want. All that is easy to do. Make sure you're getting your questions in every single week so we can do Monday mailbag. Coming up after the break, again, my conversation with May from Grizz Gaming. He is the last player that we have talked to. He is kind of the quote-unquote leader of this team. And so he has been here for 2 years. He was drafted last year. The Grizz Gaming protected him this year. So he stayed with the team. He's also the current leading scorer. He had 84 points last year. So we talk about literally all that and more in our conversation with Authentic African is his gamertag. We talk about that after the break. I guess, how do you assess the season last year?
I feel like the season, you know, some people think like just because we didn't make the playoffs, it wasn't a success. But I feel like especially, you know, later on during the season, I feel like we became a really tough team and a really cohesive team. You know, we started off really slow, you know, like 1-4, 1-5 or something like that. But, you know, we kept our head strong and we were literally right there at the end to make the playoffs. You know, we had a crazy triple overtime game against the 76ers, and you know that kind of knocked us out. And you know they're obviously one of the best teams in the league too, so I feel like we did great this last season, like in terms of what we had, and this year I feel like we definitely have one of the strongest teams this year, and I feel like we're definitely going to go far.
Obviously, for those who don't know, the Grizzlies protected, basically. You got to keep two players from last year's team, yourself and Universal Phenom. What's that mean for you guys to know that they wanted to keep you around, obviously, for another year?
Oh, it means the world to us, you know, to have their, you know, they're basically giving their trust in us to, you know, lead this team to the, you know, promised land. And obviously, the goal is to win a championship. And you know, it was great. You know, I love this city. I love this organization. You know, I'm really, really happy to be here. And hopefully I can deliver on a ring for them.
I guess what's different about this team versus last year? What's different about this team this year?
I think the main thing about this year compared to last year is, you know, we have a pretty good understanding of what everyone is personality-wise and skill-wise, you know, compared to last year where there was, you know, there was a lot of people that we didn't know, like, you know, but this year we did a good job of getting the right personalities and the right, you know, skill level, and I feel like we're definitely, you know, going to make a run this year.
Chalk it up to learning curve in first year in, or is that just...
Oh, it's definitely a learning curve. You know, it was a learning curve for everybody, yep. You know, trying to... I feel like last year we did a good job of, you know, of what we had and just building on it. You know, I feel like we did a, you know, people might say, oh no, they didn't make the playoffs, but we did a great job in terms of, you know, being cohesive. We still had great, you know, personalities there. You know, I wish some of those guys that were on the team last year made the league. But, you know, I'm happy with what we have this year, and I feel like, you know, we're definitely going to be a more cohesive unit this year.
I'm pretty sure that your 84 is still a league record. Yeah. Are you going to score more than 84 this year?
Oh, no.
Can you get 100?
This year, no. it's impossible. Last year I had the opportunity to play in probably the most over... Like, the build was just LeBron and Jordan mixed together. So, yeah, this year there's no – they're making sure that that's not the case this year. But, you know, I feel like this year definitely takes more skill than last year, you know, because last year had a lot of really just crazy builds that were just overpowered compared to most of the other builds. This year is definitely really more balanced. So this year I feel like that record – this year will definitely not even be close to being touched by any team. You know, it's just a difficult record to get to with these builds.
So it's a good news, bad news situation. Your record's going to stand for probably a long time, you know? Like, but you probably won't break it either.
Oh, no, I'm not breaking it. You know, as long as no one breaks it, I'm okay.
It's weird that you mentioned, like, the builds. Like, is it you can tell a big difference from build to build.
Yeah.
Is it, do they change the builds in the season, or is it one throughout the whole season? Do they make updates?
Last year they made updates.
Did they? Okay.
And because last year that build I used to score 84 wasn't as good in the beginning. But then they made an update. They just made it crazy. And this year, you know, I feel like they went more of a smarter approach to asking the players what they feel about the builds. You know, last year I feel like they just did it, you know, this build is not being used too much, so let's just up it, you know, instead of getting the players' opinions on it. But this year I think they did a great job of getting the players' opinions on the builds to try to make it as more balanced as possible, and I feel like they did a good job this year with the builds.
And I just want to make sure I understand that the builds are, it is the same on everybody, right? It's just like it's not the same as 2K that we play in as a retail version, but it is a build that everybody plays on. If they update it, they update it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So so everybody gets, like, if they want a shooting center, you know, they can pick that, or if they want a center that could go inside, they can pick that.
But
all in all, they're all pretty balanced, and none of them are really overpowered compared to what it was last year.
Gotcha. So it's going to be more, you think it's more in tune with the actual, like, real basketball gameplay than before?
I think it definitely is more in tune. You know, last year was a lot of five out people. You know, there was a lot of complaints that, oh, you know, we're just watching five out, you know, no movement and stuff. But this year, there's going to be a lot of set offenses. There's going to be a lot of motions. And I feel like, you know, that's more captivating to the audience than just, you know, watching one person go against five people, you know. So I feel like there's definitely going to be more movement and more offense.
I will say that I played in here last year on that build, and I scored 6 points. So it was probably too easy. All right. Enough about last year. Let's talk about some questions that we got with our – some of our people on our staff to just kind of see what they wanted to know about people. But favorite video game of all time?
Ooh, my favorite video game of all time.
Don't have to be sports, just of all time.
Probably have to be Super Smash Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that game growing up. N64, I used to
Wait, how old are you?
I am 25.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so, you know, not this Smash Bros. That came out, the old one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I play that game every day before school, after school. With my brother, it was definitely one of my favorite games of all time.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's the best answer I've heard, by the way. So far, that's the best answer I've heard. These 19-year-olds don't know anything about that. Anyway, if you're not playing 2K, is there a game that you're playing?
I really like fighting games.
Yeah.
So, you know, last year I played a lot of Injustice 2, which is, you know, the DC, you know, comic book fighting games. This year I want to get Mortal Kombat. You know, I'm a big Mortal Kombat fan too. So if I'm not playing 2K, I'm really into the fighting games. And
old school Mortal Kombat fan?
Oh, I love old school Mortal Kombat.
But did you like the movie?
The movie. I remember the movie, watching the movie when I was, oh man, it wasn't as good as I thought it'd be.
That movie deserves a remake.
Yeah,
I mean, 100%. Badly.
Oh, for sure.
All right, favorite NBA player of all time?
Michael Jordan. You know, okay. My dad grew up watching Michael Jordan every single game. He recorded all the playoff games. He jokes around and says my first words weren't dad or mom, it was Jordan. So I grew up idolizing him, and that's definitely my favorite player.
All right, I guess favorite current NBA player.
My favorite current NBA player would probably be Kyrie Irving. You know, I love his skill sets. I love his, you know, demeanor on the court. I love, like, especially when it comes to clutch time, man, it doesn't get better than Kyrie. You know, I love the handles. You know, he's definitely up there in terms of my favorite player.
Are you a Raptors fan?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Raptors fan?
I am.
All right. Do you think Kawhi will be there this year? You going to think he's going to stay this year?
I think he will stay next year. You know, there's a lot of doubt, obviously, him going to the Clippers or whatever, the Lakers or something. But, you know, I feel like we've rested him a lot this year. And he's mentioned, you know, like he loves how the Raptors have been treating him and how he's been able to, you know, get his minutes but also get his rest, which was important, and, you know, something that San Antonio wasn't doing. So, you know, I really feel like he's enjoying the city and stuff, and, you know, he's enjoying winning. You know, obviously we're a top two team in the East right now, so I feel like he will stay.
I'm surprised you didn't say Vince Carter when you said you're a Raptors fan.
Your favorite player. I did love Vince Carter until he left us for the Nets. Yeah, when he stopped trying a little bit over there, and, you know, he obviously wasn't getting along with management.
Yeah.
He left us high and dry over there. So he was my favorite player. He was the most exciting, definitely most exciting player I've ever watched on the Raptors. You know, he just made you, like just put your, like, head down and be like, is this even possible for someone to do? So, yeah.
It was good for you because the Grizzlies have basically become the Raptors of the South, which is great. What do you think about Marc Gasol with the Raptors?
It's been a learning curve for him. I feel like, you know, he's still trying to get adjusted to the team. You know, it's when we first got him, I felt like, okay, we have a great, great post presence now, you know. But, you know, all of a sudden he's just sitting in the three-point line just trying to shoot three. So, but I feel like in the playoffs when, you know, the game slows down and everything, I feel like he'll be more valuable then, just because he still has the post game, you know, even though he doesn't do it as much anymore. But I feel like we could just definitely give it to him, slow the game down. He's an amazing passer. The offense has been much better since he's come in, just because of his passing. So, you know, that's great to have. And, you know, he's also experienced with the Grizzlies, so making it with Conley and them all those years too. So that's definitely helped.
Are you a Valanciunas fan?
I am now. He was not doing what he is doing Grizzlies.
Really?
No.
Different guy in Toronto?
Yeah, he was a completely different guy. You know, this, like, he's, like, you know, he had a reputation of being a little soft in Toronto. You
really?
Know, like, you're a big body. Go in the post a little bit more, you know, like, but...
This same Jonas Valanciunas?
Yeah, this same Jonas Valanciunas.
Don't believe it.
Yeah, that's why when I got here and Lang gave us tickets to watch the Rockets, and he was just dominant. I was like, is this Jonas? Why did we trade him? But, yeah, so I'm happy he's getting his, you know, that also comes with the minutes he's getting here. You know, he had to share minutes over there with Ibaka. Yeah. You know, sometimes he didn't start, sometimes he did. And that could be, you know, mentally that could be tough on a player if you don't know if you're starting game by game. So I'm sure he's enjoying his bigger role here, and I feel like if he continues playing like this, he could definitely have a chance to be an All-Star next year.
It's in the water in Memphis. When you get here, you immediately have to become tougher. I think, I don't know, but it's a theory I'm working on, so it could be true. Especially since now that we've learned that Jonas wasn't always the Jonas that we know.
No, you definitely wasn't.
Back to 2K a little bit. What position are you playing this year in the game?
This year I'm playing center.
Okay. Is there a reason that you choose this position? Like some of the guys mentioned, they did it strategically to get into the league.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys just did it because that's what they've always done.
Yeah.
Why center?
I mean, this year center, I feel like, you know, just being able to control the defense and control the game. Personally, I could play all the positions. I'm one of the few people out there that can play all the positions. You know, my main position is actually point guard. But I feel like center, you can control the game in different ways that still help the team in terms of just being a captain on that defensive end, which I feel like is going to be extremely important this year, you know, trying to defend all these great players and stuff, and having that communication is definitely key. So, you know, I could, you know, I'm just doing what I feel like the team would benefit from, and, you know, with the skills, all around skill set that I have, I feel like that definitely, you know, helps me rebound the ball, score the ball, pass the ball, steal, right, like all that stuff. So I feel like that helps me with my all around game.
Okay. That makes, to what the other guy said, the defense is going to be, it's going to be much harder to play defense this year, right? You know, get into the lane and that kind of thing.
Oh, it's definitely harder because everyone out there now can shoot like Steph Curry as soon as they get past that.
That's what Universal's feeling. He was saying that the sharpshooter, the people who can shoot, could just shoot like crazy.
Oh, it's insane. They get past that half court, it's like, it's green all the time.
You got to guard people at half court?
Oh, yeah, you do. It's tough, man. It's like, so defense is definitely going to be the key. And with defense, it just comes with communication, having that all five people, you know, on one string, you know, trying to see where the rotations are. That's definitely going to be the most important thing. So, you know, me being center, I feel like I control that a little bit, seeing where everybody goes and stuff like that. So that's mostly why I'm playing it this year.
What do you tell the young guys? Obviously, they've first year in, some of the new guys, but never done this. Now they've got to fly to New York and play games. It's not something where you just boot it up in your room and go to town. It's a whole different experience. What do you kind of tell those guys?
What I tell those guys is, personally, like, you know from last year, you know, it is just a crazy experience going to that stage.
Yeah.
You know, having, you know, all the cameras on you compared to just you sitting at home playing, you know, putting your feet up in the sofas and stuff. Over there, it's just completely different animals. So what I tell them is just to, you know, take it one game at a time, take a good approach, you know, don't worry about all the, you know, the noise outside of the league. You know, there's a lot of people who watch play the game and then go watch it and see what people are saying in the chats and stuff about them. And I'm like, you know, just block that out. Don't worry. Everybody's going to hate on you. You know, they just want to be where you at,
right?
You know, so if they are talking, you know, whatever smack they want to talk, it's just, it's all envy, you know? So just take that approach, ignore all that, you know, just focus on the game and you'll be fine.
Last question, I'll get you out of here. Is there an NBA player that you try and model your 2K game after? Is it Jonas Valanciunas?
No, it's not Jonas Valanciunas. Personally, now I feel like I'm trying to model my game. You know, I'm going to go old school and just say Tim Duncan. I feel like, you know, if as long as you're fundamentally good in that game, you know where you're at, you know when to take the good shots, you know when to rebound, you know when to post up and all that stuff, you know, I think we'll be fine. So Tim Duncan has always been a winner. He's always been a champion. You know, he makes the playoffs he used to make the playoffs every single time with the Spurs and them. So that's someone I would look up to and be like, you know what, I want to model my game after him.
Thanks again to all the Grizz Gaming guys over there. I really appreciate them making all the players available to me to talk. I hope you guys have enjoyed the conversations over the last week. I know I enjoyed doing them. We'll do more Grizz Gaming stuff as they get rolling. Again, their first game is April 2nd at 4 p.m. They do everything on Twitch, so you can live stream their games. If you haven't already subscribed in iTunes, please do so. Go over there. If you have a minute, please rate and review the show in iTunes. It really helps our iTunes rankings. Thanks for listening. And again, you can also subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as any other podcast platform, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, literally wherever you get your show. When you get in your car, also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Grizzlies. It will play the latest episode. That's a pretty cool deal that we got that going on as well. Now, again, make sure you're getting your questions in from Monday Mailbag. If you want to be a featured sponsor on this show, please email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. We have a lot of great rates. We can work something out. I really appreciate your business being a featured sponsor on this show. If you still don't know where to get the show, just go to lockedongrizzlies.com.